everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Group Answers. So glad you're joining us. My name is Chris, and I am alongside, via phone, my co-host, Brian Daniel. What's up, Brian?
On the phone again?
Why can't you be in the studio?
Sorry. I've been so in and out so much lately. I've missed it.
I know. We have missed you. It's not quite the same, but you just did something cool. You're on your way back from the Southern Baptist Convention in Birmingham, Alabama, and you hosted something with the Kendrick Brothers, right?
Yeah, as you know, because of my role at Lifeway, I've been able to get to know Alex and Stephen Kendrick over the last couple of years, and because of that and because of Lifeway's association with the movie that we'll be releasing in August, Overcomer, I was asked to come and interview those guys on the CP stage, Co-opted Program stage, at the Southern Baptist Convention this year.
Cool.
So yeah, that was really something. So we had it was recorded, so you can go, I think you can find that link somewhere. Just probably search Southern Baptist Convention or SBC 2019. I'm sure you can find it. I don't know exactly that link, but I was with them for 40 minutes. We had a really good crowd, and those guys are just fantastic.
It was
wonderful. And yes, we're on our way back now. Had some other meetings, got to meet with some really great people talking about future projects. So it was time well spent.
So you mentioned early to me about they kind of flipped the script on you as you were asking them questions. What happened there?
So I think we've got them on an upcoming episode.
Yes.
So, everyone is not going to be aware thematically of what the movie was about, but the script was, we're talking about the movie first and then the theme or the message of the movie second. And so, you know how those things go. You've done that enough. It's kind of organic and you don't know which way it's going to go. And the questions and the answers went towards the thematic thread first. And so what gets hard as the moderator or interviewer is, I'm trying to think through how we're going to move this conversation along, and I'm not really listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're familiar with that. And so you're sitting there and everybody's watching, it's being recorded, your wife's there, and it's like, oh gosh, what are Alex and Steven saying? Did they just ask me a question? Cause I don't have a clue what they just said. So, but that did not happen. It went great.
Well, good. Yeah. It happens occasionally on the podcast.
No.
There may
no
be
way.
Once or twice where you've thrown it to me and I've gone, oh, yeah, I'm on a podcast.
Maybe once.
All right. We're going to bring in our guest. So excited today about having my friend, Darren Patrick, is with us. And Darren's just a cool all-around guy, but let me give you a little bit of his bio before we bring him onto the podcast. Darren Patrick is a teaching pastor at Seacoast Church. He is the founding pastor of the Journey Church and is the author of multiple books, including The Dude's Guide to Marriage. Darren is the former chaplain to the St. Louis Cardinals and former vice president of the Acts 29 Church Planning Network. He has appeared in the New York Times, The Today Show, and Fox and Friends for his innovative approach to reaching the unreached. Darren is married to Amy, and they have four kids. He enjoys reading, writing, and coaching his kids' sports teams. What's up, Darren? Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. So am I understanding this correctly? I'm going to get all answers to any question about groups as we do this interview. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we're expecting you to have all the answers.
Oh, I see. Oh, I didn't understand that. I thought this was a continuing education thing. So I'm on the spot.
Oh,
all right.
No.
I'll do my best.
You're bringing the knowledge. So that's really what this is all about.
I will drop it like it's hot.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. So you're currently sitting in my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, correct?
Yes, sir.
How long have you lived in St. Louis?
Since 2001.
Wow.
Yeah, we moved here, parachute drop. My wife and I and 1-year-old daughter moved here and started meeting people and then gathered a core group and started the church. Yeah. And, yeah, it's hard to believe. It's been a long time.
That's amazing. And the coolest thing about you, sorry, Darren, I mean, I like a lot of stuff, but is the fact that you were a chaplain for the Cardinals and a Cardinals fan, because I'm a lifetime Cardinals fan. And so what do you think about this season? Any chances?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, we're struggling a little bit. But, you know, here's the thing. When you're a Cardinals fan, unlike, you know, being a Cubs fan, you know, where you win a World Series once every 100 years, we win about, you know, basically once every, you know, 10 years or so. So it's been a while. It's been since, I think, 2011. since we won.
Yep.
And so, you know, we'll be fine. We just gotta keep plugging away.
Yeah, we're about due. But you're right. I mean, Cubs fans are fanatics, but they get to celebrate about once every 100 years. And people every once in a while ask me about the rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals. I'm like, it's not really a rivalry when, you know, only one side really wins most of the time.
That's true. That's true.
So, yeah. So that's a good thing. All right. So again, thanks for being here, Brian. You back on the phone?
Yes, I never left.
You left for a second. We're glad that you're alive. Don't die in the car, but I'm glad you're back with us. Darren, I want to kick it off. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit of your story. You know, from the outside, and I read your bio, you've done some really cool stuff. You were obviously a very successful church planner, pastor, chaplain of the Cardinals, head of a church network, and all of that. But during that, what was happening? What was happening on the inside with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's you start a church and then you're a part of a network, and then you look around and everything is growing. You know, your ministry's growing, your family's growing. And what happened to me was my soul wasn't growing. I wasn't keeping pace with all the emerging and, you know, enlarging platform. And, you know, basically my heart just got super disconnected from Jesus. And I really lost it's the best way to say it is I forgot how to be a friend. Because when the church is growing and the network is growing, people are just, you're moving people around all over the place because you've got to fill gaps in leadership and you're hiring staff, and then people's, you know, jobs are outgrowing their skills, and then your kids were friends with their kids or your wife was friends. And it's just super confusing relationally to be a pastor of a growing church. And that's not like a woe is me thing. It's just real. It's just true. And I think for me, I really got disconnected from Jesus and from community. And that, you know, that led to where, man, I essentially imploded my life. The church let me go that I planted. And I went into about a 2-year, 26-month restoration process. And the real, you know, the real take home for me, and that's why I want to do this podcast with you guys, is, you know, what really brought me back was community. And I'll never do ministry apart from that again.
Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, you didn't go into a great deal of detail, Darren, but so in when you and I met, I guess it was everything was at its peak. What did community and accountability look like in that season?
Yeah, I mean, we were constantly shuffling around, you know, what our structure. And so, you know, we had an executive team, and then we had a board, and then we just had a board, you know, we just had a board. And so it was a bunch of lay guys, and we had a couple guys in their 60s who were awesome. And then they rotated off, and we just had everybody, you know, I was the oldest elder. And in hindsight, that was a real mistake. We should have had some older men. And now I know this after, you know, a couple hundred hours of counseling. I tended to not trust older men, largely because of my relationship with my dad. And, you know, I repelled them, and I was threatened by them. And so really that's all my fault. I mean, all this, every time I try to blame somebody for all this, I find a mirror, you know, it's all my fault. I set the system up. I kept the gas to the floorboard on growth. And so, you know, it was a bunch of lay guys that were my kind of on my tier, so to speak, of leadership. And, the church was growing, everything's growing. And then because these guys had day jobs, it was super hard to connect relationally. And you know, I just failed at that. I did not pursue them well. I did not set up good, like, rhythms for us to connect. And ultimately, I mean, they were my accountability, but we really weren't brothers and we really weren't connected. And I overreacted structurally to some other pastor friends of mine who had basically had everybody around them that they could fire. And I'm like, that's not community. That's not accountability. So I went the other way. But didn't really count the cost of, you know, what that took relationally and the kind of pace that required. And I wasn't willing to slow down the pace to develop those relationships.
So you, you're with thousands of people every weekend that attend the church. I'm sure you had, you obviously had staff, you had elders, you had people around you. You had all these relationships. What was it like when suddenly they're gone? You know, when things kind of imploded and thousands are gone.
Well, it was super hard because, probably the hardest thing about it, honestly, was how many, you know, because really my community and friendships were outside of the church at that point. And really for years, you know, you always have pastoral relationships. So we would, you know, we would meet at a conference or whatever and hang out. And then everybody started speaking at conferences. And so then they're flying in and flying out. So those relationships were already a little strained externally. And then when this happened, and I get it, cause I've done the same thing to people, but you don't know what to do or there's other, you know, psychological dynamics going on, or you don't want to have guilt by association. So you just avoid people who go through something like this. And so people who I thought were friends that I'd served on boards and councils and just crickets, man, I didn't hear from tons of those kind of folks. And so it was very lonely and very isolating. And like I said, you know, like I understand it because I did very similar things to other pastors and friends who had, you know, fallen, struggled, whatever. But man, it was just super lonely and isolating, and you know, it was just really hard, very dark time.
I know when you were going through that, one of the things that I wrestled with was because, like, you get the news, this has happened to Darren. I would consider you a friend, but I knew I wasn't in your inner circle. So I wrote you at least one note. I may have written you just two notes, just saying, hey, praying for you. But I didn't really know, you know, does he really want to hear from a lot of people right now? So when Chris and I were talking about this interview, that was one of my questions. So when you're in that season, when that's just happened to you and you're realizing all these things, Darren, I mean, do you want to hear from everybody? Are there people that you want to hear from more? Are all things welcome? Tell me kind of a little bit about what the state of mind is.
That's a great question, Brian. Yeah. I think it's probably different for different people, but I do remember those. I do remember you sending that. I don't know if I replied to you or not, but I do remember that. And I did appreciate that. And I think it's better to err on the side of reaching out. In fact, what I would say is the best thing, and some people did this, the best thing, people did was to send a note, like a handwritten note, or even send a gift. And I'm not talking about like big gifts, but like just little things like that, that just says, hey, we care about your family right now, not just you. Like we're worried about you, but we're worried about your family. Those kind of things that people did. And then like, hey, I'm going to be in your city, man. Or if you know, no, but just pursuing, people, I think is a good thing. And then if they don't respond, you might back off a little bit. But I think what people typically do is they think like you just thought, Brian's like, oh my gosh, I don't know him that well. And man, there's probably all these people reaching out. The truth is most people in these situations, unfortunately, most people walk away. They don't walk towards the pain. They walk away from it. And so I think, man, err on the side of pursuing the fallen leader.
What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded on solid truth? Or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life. This is the premise of the new film Overcomer in theaters August 23rd. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources. For small groups, there is the Overcomer Bible Study. For individuals, there's a book called Defined. Both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. Learn more about all the resources at lifeway.com/overcomer. So, Darren, you mentioned earlier kind of you hinted at the restoration process and the community that you found, and I know a little bit about it. My brother Greg was a part of that that community that you found. But talk a little bit about what that meant, what that looked like. You know, I know it was painful, but it was necessary. So talk a little bit about that restoration process and the community that you found through it.
Yeah. So the elders were very gracious and kind and offered a process, and they hired a third party group. And, you know, basically that was made up of the staff of this particular ministry, and then along with several pastors, your brother being one of them, Matt Carter being another, names people would know, Scott Sauls, and some others. And basically, you know, it was just like a process of a year, and it wasn't about restoration in the ministry. It was about, you know, basically kind of coming to grips with your sin and woundedness. And, you know, there is no perfect process. And I remember in the middle of just some of the, you know, some of the pain of the process, God, I feel like God like spoke to me, you know, not audibly, but just in my heart. Like it was like, he said, I'm perfecting you through this imperfect process. And, you know, we got to the end of that process, and your brother just said, hey, I feel like Darren needs more time. I feel like but I think we need to affirm his gifts. And not everyone agreed with that. Some people thought that, you know, I should just go get a secular job and not do ministry. But your brother stood up along with Matt Carter and others and just said, listen, man, you're like, you know, this is worth, he's worth investing in right now. And we think the context of ministry will be the best context for his healing. And so, yeah, he brought me in, did another, what he called a year of supervised ministry. And a lot of my brokenness was around my leadership. So I didn't lead any people. But I did get to use my teaching gift, which is super affirming and encouraging. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, that's just going to feed the beast. And maybe for some pastors or leaders, it would. But for me, it was more my leadership that was broken. And so he, man, it was just a super healing year. And you know, Chris, you know, Pastor Greg, has done this multiple times with pastors, mm-hmm. which is the key in these situations. You want somebody that's actually seen pastors restored and, you know, and brought to health, in practice and not just in theory. And so he, man, he was just amazing and super healing, and all that process ended in May of 2018, and I was released. It was, there was a personal board with my counselor, Rich Plass from Cross Point Ministries, another business guy that I'd worked for along with working for Seacoast that year. So I worked for the business probably 75% of the time and Seacoast 25% of the time during that year. And so those three men, all in their 60s, were on my board, and, you know, they said, hey, you can do what you want. This is May of 2018. You can plant a church, you can pastor, you can teach, whatever you want to do. And I just felt, you know what? I just want to keep serving Seacoast. I want to keep telling my story to pastors, which I've been doing. And, yeah, so that's what I've been doing since then. And it's been wonderful. I still long to, you know, lead and to teach. I'm really content with not having to, you know, be the lead guy, which is, really different for me.
Man, you gotta love that Matt Carter. So, you and Amy do a lot of like marriage, you do marriage events. I'm sure you've done some marriage counseling. You have, you've been active in the past in men's ministry. You have a book, The Dude's Guide to Manhood. So you've done some significant, profound thinking in that way. As I listen to you talk, I'm just kind of thinking through my own journey and maybe even where I find myself now at this stage in life. It seems like there may be a significant message to men in all of this. You know, most of our listenership is our church educators, group leaders, and small group pastors. So I think it's important to talk about just that masculine journey or where a lot of men find themselves within the context of group leadership and group life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what happens, you know, my counselors, you know, Rich Plass and Jim Cofield at Cross Point Ministries, these guys have worked with pastors for 30 years and leaders and staff. And essentially what they say is, and this is a little scary, but what they say is that there's a disproportionate amount of leaders that blow up in their mid-40s to like 55. And if you just kind of look at what's happening in the whole celebrity pastor fall in this thing, it's pretty, it's not always when they're fired or when, you know, their sin is exposed, but you start looking at that age, that, you know, 10 to 12 year age range, and a lot of dysfunction happens then. And according to those guys, and this is, I think particular, but not exclusively to, kind of the males on the masculine thing you mentioned, Brian, I think what happens is, what works for us up to that point stops working. Meaning, you know, we led by vision, you know, kind of directive leadership. And then what happens is over time, you just have these kind of, you know, these people around that have been wounded by your leadership that are not impressed and wowed by your gifts anymore. And now, you know, they see these holes in your character, and you climb this ladder, you get up to this point, and you're just like managing and fixing and leading. And then it's like you find yourself usually friendless, or at least nobody really in your life. And then your wife, your marriage is probably struggling because you've just been building all this ministry stuff and doing all that. You know, your kids are at an age where, you know, it just kind of seems to be a time where a lot of guys blow up. And I think for men especially, I think what, you know, our daddy wounds start coming out because now, you know, we're that age that are, you know, it just, it's weird how you kind of repeat some of those same sins. And for me, I felt like a hypocrite. I'm like, I'm the man guy. I'm the dude's guide guy. I've written about all this stuff. I've talked about my father wounds. Well, before my implosion, about 6 months, my dad died, and something inside me broke. And I should have right then said, guys, time out. I need a sabbatical. But because I had not led them well, and we had so much conflict, I was unwilling out of fear to do what was right. But yeah, man, I think there's something to, and it's really what you're moving into. If you go back to, you know, ancient traditions, and is you're moving into that sage stage a little bit, but you're having trouble letting go of that warrior. Hey, we're going to take the hill, and those kind of skills and that kind of leadership that was, you know, helpful becomes harmful. And
that's so good.
Yeah. So I think you're exactly right, Brian.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I've been reading a lot about kind of that warrior mentality. And for a long time, it's felt like we're told to we're always warriors, but there's a place and a time to be a warrior, but you have to move into that sage stage, which sounds like that's what you've moved into.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a false dichotomy, you know, these categories, but man, I just feel like I hate it that people, one of the things I hate about what's happened is it's like, oh, okay, now every strong leader is abusive. So let's throw the A word out. I don't think that's true. I think we've overcorrected and overreacted, but I also think that a lot of leaders just have failed to develop those soft side leadership skills. And it's mainly related to them not engaging their emotional life.
Yeah.
You know, we, and I'll say it this way, we have a truncated anthropology. We're really good at following the divinity, you know, Jesus as God, but we're not really good at following Jesus as man. Mm. You know, he's the hypostatic union. He's 100% God and 100% man. Mm. Well, Jesus experienced all the emotions. Like he didn't go around them, we went through them. But I think somehow in our Western world, not just the Western world, but we've just not accounted for emotional health being connected to spiritual maturity. And that's what I think causes leaders to fall the most is they're not rightly engaging their emotion. They don't have self-awareness. They don't know how they don't know what their effect is on other people. And it's because they're so disconnected from their emotions.
That's really good. Thanks, Darren, for that. And I love what you're doing. You're doing a lot of cool things to help leaders in marriages. We mentioned how you're doing marriage stuff with Amy. And one thing I'm really excited about is the podcast that you and my brother started called The Pastors Collective. Talk to us for a minute about what it is and what you're hoping to accomplish with that podcast.
Yeah, I just kind of started. It's actually a little network that we're starting that's not affiliated with it. It's kind of serving multiple networks. It's not affiliated with ARC or Acts 29 or any denomination, although I'm coming out of Southern Baptist background. You know, Greg, Assembly of God, he's the president of ARC. I was the vice president of Acts 29. What we're seeing, though, is basically, you know, pastors and leaders do not know how to grow their soul. We got a lot of consultants and networks that'll help you grow your church, but they don't know how to grow your soul. So our little tagline is grow your soul as you grow your church. Mm. We're not against church growth. Like some emotion, you know, some groups that are, fake feature and talk about a health. It's like, well, don't worry about this church growth thing. Well, we're seriously worried about the church growth thing because people need to meet Jesus. Mm. And lostness is a problem. Mm. So we want the church to grow, but we feel like leaders being healthy, long-term, that's what's going to ensure the best kind of church growth and the healthiest kind of church growth. So it's we do regional events, but this podcast just started. We thought, what if we featured pastors and leaders talking about their weaknesses and vulnerabilities rather than their strengths and successes? And so that's what we're trying to do on every episode, is to kind of let people hear stories of struggle and redemption and hope, not just, hey, this is how we grew our church or this is how we exploded our group's ministry.
Yeah, I love it because, you know, as a pastor, if you look at social media, what you see is, you know, we had thousands this Sunday and, you know, life is amazing. And, you know, I planted a church and it's hardly ever like that. And you guys are really digging in and telling stories. I mean, you told your story on there. I listened to Jimmy Rollins, who's a pastor in Michigan, right? I think he's in Michigan.
Baltimore.
That's right. Tell his story of depression and all of that as he was going through changes at his church and struggles in his marriage. And so I love that you guys are bringing that side for young leaders, especially to listen to and really see the example and the trailblazing that's been done before them. And they can find community and they can find help and reach out before they hit that rock bottom. So yeah, thanks for producing that. And Darren, if people want to follow you, where's the best place on social media or websites or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously all the, you know, Twitter, just, you know, it's my name, Instagram, Facebook, my name. And then, and also I have a YouTube channel that I just started. So you can look on there and obviously on Seacoast, .org, but website, my sermons. And then the Pastors Collective podcast, obviously we'd love all your listeners to subscribe to that. And we've got some great stories that we're telling. And I think it'll encourage people that they don't have to be Superman, Superwoman, that God can use ordinary them to do extraordinary things. And so, that's what my message is about. Like I have no desire to be a celebrity pastor anymore. I'm super, glad to be able to serve the church, and I'm super thankful for just all the work that's being done to equip lay people to do the work of ministry.
That's awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Darren Patrick, for taking some time and spending it with us. And we're so glad that you did that. And also, as we close, we've got a giveaway. I know people love to win things. We were giving away copies of my book. We are also going to give a copy of J.D. Greer's brand new book called Above All. And in that book, he answers the question, is gospel Christianity dead? And so it's a great book. And there's a Bible study, a Gospel Above All, to go along with that. If you would like to win a copy, all you got to do is go to the Lifeway Groups Ministry Twitter page, or tag the Twitter handle, which is Lifeway Groups Ministry, or Facebook. And Groups Ministry, same thing, Lifeway Groups Ministry. And ask us a question or suggest a topic for this podcast. And we would love to give away some books. So make sure you do that. Tag us on Twitter or Facebook. Ask a question. And we'll hopefully you'll get a copy of J.D. Greer's new book. All right, Brian, you still there?
I am still here.
All right. You haven't died. That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
Darren, thanks so much for being with us, and look forward to the next time. And had I known that you could actually read my writing, I probably would have written again. So I appreciate just the heads up on that. So
yeah,
you
bye.
Guys take care.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time for Group Answers.